Fantastic. Well, this morning, it's a great privilege. I've asked Regina to speak to us this morning. Every member of the church is special and is valuable. We really just appreciate Verdon and Regina. They're privileged to be called as full-time missionaries. In one sense, we're all missionaries, but they've got the privilege of a full-time call to work as missionaries here in London. So we really honour their work. Would you both stand up for a minute? Let's give them a big round to appreciate them. God bless you both. God bless you. Fantastic. Their work here, their tireless work here in North London, we're very privileged today that Regina is going to be sharing with us. Let's give Regina a massive big round of applause. Regina, come on down.
Bless you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Good morning. Thank you, New Life, for giving me this opportunity, really, to talk to you this morning and to share with you a little bit about what God has done in my life and what he's still doing. Praise God. He hasn't finished. He has still a lot of work to do. But I just want to apologize for the women who came here to the ladies' breakfast last year, because you heard my testimony before. But I want to share a little bit, a resume of my testimony today. As I was asking really God what to talk to you about, because it's nice to be here and talk to family, and you are my family, and I'm a little bit nervous, but yeah, it's nice to talk to family. We can calm down. And but as I was asking God, and God really, reinforce my desire to share my testimony, especially with the man here, because you didn't come to the ladies' breakfast. And the reason was, I believe, and that's what I believe God really showed me, I think it's easier for women to show her feelings. Maybe I'm wrong, you can correct me, but as a woman, I think it's easier, maybe, the way that we are brought up, to show our emotions, to show our feelings. And I think for men, they are more, taught not to, maybe. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but that's what, I can see. And I really feel God really wants to set us free to show our emotions. We know that's not all about emotions, but he gave us emotions. And we have strong emotions in us. And he wants us to use those strong feelings for him, for his glory, right? And that's really what my prayer is this morning. And I just want to pray before I start. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you for you to come. Come, Jesus. Come, Jesus. Speak to us this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We just ask that you open our hearts so we can receive something new and afresh from you. You make things new every day. Would you come, Lord, and would you bring something fresh, something that will refresh our souls, Lord, this morning? Open our eyes so we can see who you really are, the beauty of who you are, Jesus. Open our ears, Lord, so we can hear your voice. We can hear your sweet voice this morning talking to us in a very personal way. Come, Jesus, come. We love you. We are desperate for you. And we want you more and more in our lives. We give you permission, Jesus, to come, touch areas in our lives where sometimes we dare not to go, Lord, into it. We just open our hearts because we want to be healed. We want to be yours, Lord. Just come, Jesus. Speak to us. Amen. I was really thinking my introduction. I'm hopeless with introductions because I go all over the place. And if English is not your first language, you can get lost. I learned that. But I'm going to tell you something that I'm sure you know. You know that God is madly in love with you, don't you? I hope you do. The reason I say that, he's madly in love, because when you really, really love someone or love something, you can do crazy things. You know, when you are passionate about something, you are able to do things that nobody else can, honestly. I mean, I think it was last year, I think I read in the paper that someone died trying to save his dog. Is that love or not? I mean, you know, trying to, you know, the dog fell in the river, he went to save and he drowned. That's love. That's, you know, someone who is madly in love for a dog. And when I see God and what he did for us, he left his throne of glory and came down here and took this flesh and what he suffered and how he died on the cross because he loved me. Is that crazy? I think that's mad. But not just that. He died for those who don't love him. I mean, sometimes I think I love my children so much that I would be able to die for them, you know, to take their place. But to die for someone who don't like you, someone who does something so ugly or bad to you, I'm not sure if I would be able to do that. But he did. And Sarah read the verse that I had, you know, God put in my heart as well. And not the only thing, but one thing that God asked from us, he asked lots of things if you read the Bible. But one thing special he asked us is to love him. He said, love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. He doesn't say love the Lord your God. That's it. But with your all. You know what all? All means undivided. Love God with undivided mind, with undivided heart, with an undivided soul that comes here from within you, with undivided strength. And now you ask me, how can we do that? How is it possible to be whole, undivided? Because we are so busy, so many worries, so many problems. How can our minds be undivided and love God in that so powerfully? And I can tell you, in his presence. That's the secret, I think, at least for me. The secret of having a whole, being whole, is when I am with him. Because when I am with God, I even forget who I am. I even forget my name or anything, my problems, the world. I don't know if you feel the same, but I do. When it's just him and me, time just for both of us, I forget everything. And it's in his presence that we are made whole. No one else in this earth can make you whole. We hear people say, oh, when you find your other half, come on. Maybe, and it's a nice thing to do, but we don't need any other half. He makes a whole. It's he, because he created us for him. He created us to love him and love him with our whole being, not with division. But it's lovely to be in his presence, but sometimes I find myself drifting away from his presence. You can tell me, you don't have to tell me, because I know it's very hard to be, as they say, holy all the time. You know what I mean? If you're driving or wherever. But it's possible for us to be in his presence 24/7. Recently, I started to pray before I go to bed. I say, God, speak to me, minister to us during the night. You know, he can minister to you. And it's wonderful when you are dreaming and you feel, you know, God ministering to you in a dream. And you wake up, say, oh my, that was wonderful. And it's possible to his presence all the time. Another day, I was making dinner. And then I love making dinner and listening to worship. And then I talk to God as I'm cooking, wherever. I love that time. And I don't like my husband help me, because it's my time with God. I tell him, it's me and God cooking. Thank you very much. Go and relax. But anyway, and I had such a beautiful time with God, and I didn't burn anything. And as I went to call Verdon, I said, come, Lord. And he said, oh, I like that. I say, sorry, I mixed up. You know what I mean? It was so wonderful, but he enjoyed that. It's possible, you know, I encourage you, it's possible to be in his presence, whatever you are doing. But, as I said, sometimes it's difficult. We find ourselves drifting away from his presence. And how is it possible for us to keep the desire alive in our hearts to be in his presence? What can we do to have this passion constant in our hearts for Jesus, to be with him? And today, I really want to talk to you is yearning for the presence of Jesus. That's what I really want to talk to you about. That deep desire in us that will help us to go back and back again to his presence. And I want to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. 11 to 18. You have there? Yes. But Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, let me tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. I love this passage. I really love this woman, because here, at least I learned at least four things that Mary showed how much she yearned for the presence of Jesus. And she showed him in four different ways. And the first thing I learned from Mary, how can I keep this desire alive in my heart for his presence, is by having a grateful heart. On the verse 11, Mary, she stood outside the tomb. She didn't go back to the disciples, back to the house. She stood there. She was, I believe, so desperate to be with Jesus. She knew exactly where she could find his body. If you read in Matthew 27, verse 61, talks about the burial of Jesus. It says, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. You see, this woman, she had sort of a powerful encounter with Jesus that she followed him all the way. She followed him afterwards in the good times when Jesus was, you know, healing people, feeding people, teaching, when Jesus was releasing people from demons. She followed him all the way. Her thankful heart was just right there behind him. Wherever he went, she went. But she followed him in the bad times as well. She didn't abandon him. She was right there. Her love for Jesus took her to the cross as well. Not physically, but yeah, she was there. She watched all the way until his body was put in the tomb, was put to rest. And why? Sometimes I ask why. What, you know, has driven this woman with such a deep love for Jesus? And if you read in Mark 16, verse 9, says, when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. You can imagine this woman's life, especially in those days. Unfortunately, I have seen a possessed person with one demon, and I saw what the person could do, or the demon could do through the person. I just cannot understand what a person with seven, you know, being possessed with seven demons, that was Mary. That woman had nothing. But when she met Jesus, Jesus changed her life. Jesus gave her back her dignity. He gave her back hope. Jesus gave her back a new life from the ashes. And he gave her a new hope as well. And her grateful heart brought her close to Jesus, close to the one who loved her with unconditional and all-forgiving love. And you know what? We all have our life stories, don't we? Good and bad. And I have my stories as well, my life stories. And you heard that before, sorry. But I have my life experiences, and I call them my BC, before Christ, and AC, after Christ experiences. But my husband sitting there, he insists that my BC and AC experiences are before Costa and after Costa. It's true, because when I go to Costa, life is miserable, you know. No energy. After I get some caffeine on my blood, I am ready to conquer the world. That's why I was a good Brazilian. I love my coffee. But going back to my BC, my before Christ experiences, I was brought up in a good Catholic family, but I had my rebellious teenage years. When I was 17, I got pregnant, and I was forced to get married to my 17 years old boyfriend, as I had brought shame to my family. It was a very unhappy marriage, as my husband was violent and very unfaithful. 3 years later, I was pregnant again. But just a few weeks before my baby was born, I learned that my husband had got a young girl pregnant. I felt humiliated, devastated, and the pain of betrayal was too much to bear. I refused to leave my home, as I didn't want to see anyone or anyone to see me. However, just after my baby was born, my cousins persuaded me to go out to a club. Unfortunately, I saw my husband with another woman. I was very, very hurt, and I ran crying home. But he came after me. He burst into the house, shouting so loud that he awakened my little baby. I was trying to comfort my baby in my arms when he pulled out a gun and put into my head. And he yelled at me to keep quiet or he would kill me. Of course, I stayed as quiet as I could, but I was shaking with fear and at the same time trying to pacify my baby. Then he stormed out of the house, leaving me shaking and weeping. I went through a very dark time, hating him. I taught myself how to fire a gun so that I could kill him. I wasn't an angel, I can tell you. I even planned hiring someone to kill him. Then I had a better idea, I thought. I would kill myself. So I will end my problems, I thought. Suicidal thoughts became my companion. And on the night, what I call the darkest night of my life, I had planned my suicide. And I kissed my son's goodbye, then went to my mom's to say goodbye to her too. As I left my mom's house, I was closing the door behind me when I saw a crucifix on my mom's wall. And as I looked at Jesus on the cross, I thought, you couldn't help yourself. How can you help me? Then I closed the door, feeling hopeless and very sad. But another thought came into my mind. It said, go across the street and talk to the Presbyterian pastor. I knew him, so I did. As I told him everything that was going on in my life, he started to tell me about the Jesus that I didn't know, even though I knew Jesus. But I didn't know what he did for me on the cross, that the cross was for me. He paid the price for my sins so I could be forgiven, so I could have hope and could have eternal hope. As he talked to me about Jesus, my heart fell with joy and peace. And that night, I prayed accepting Jesus as my Savior. I met Jesus. In the night the devil tried to kill my, to destroy myself, I was born again with Jesus. And my life changed and changed forever. Just after I left the pastor's house, I met my husband's sister on the street. And guess what? I told her everything that the pastor told me about Jesus. And she accepted Jesus there. It's amazing what you can do when you're on fire. But I learned from Mary that a grateful heart always brings us close to Jesus. What takes me to the second point that I learned with her is by having an open heart. On verse 12 and 15, I love the dialogue that's going here, if you are following the text, between Mary and the angels and between Mary and Jesus. You see, Mary, she stood there because she wanted answers. She wasn't happy with what her eyes showed her. Jesus' body wasn't there. Where was he? Right? That woman didn't close her heart to answers. She didn't close her heart to the supernatural, the answers that come from heaven. And so how easy sometimes it can be for us to focus our eyes on our problems. And once we do that, we close almost our hearts for God's answers, for what heaven has for us. You see, if you read here the dialogue, the angel says, "Woman, why are you crying?" They couldn't understand why she was crying. You know, there are two. I can even imagine one angel looking at the other and say, "Why is she crying? What's the problem?" You know what? I don't know if you can see here, two different, complete different realities. Heaven was celebrating, but earth was mourning. Mary was mourning. Mourning Jesus, mourning. Her savior, her hero was dead. She was mourning. You know what? It tells me that heaven is always one step ahead of us. The reality that you see now is not what heaven has for you. Heaven has for you. We have to stop looking, just to focus our eyes in our reality, in what our eyes can see. We have to stop, look up very high, where your help comes from. Because that's where it comes from above, not from what you can see. And that's what the angels were saying, "Why are you crying? He has rose. He's not here. You're looking for the dead. He's not dead." But she didn't know. She was mourning, right? And then Jesus comes. And he asks her the same question. If I was Mary, I was going to say, "Come on, please." And again, "Why am I crying? Can you not see?" But she's not. She's very polite. She was very nice. Jesus asks, she asked her, "Why are you crying?" But it shows me something about Jesus that keeps me more fascinated for him. When he comes, you know, when he shows up in our situation, in our problem, when he puts his finger in the problem, it's just to heal us. He has no pleasure to see us hurting. When he came and met that woman and he asked, "Why are you crying?" And before she even said anything, he said, "Who is it you are looking for?" He knew. He knew why she was there. He could see her heart. Her heart was crying to be with him. He came to meet her. He doesn't hide himself. When you look for him, he doesn't play hide and seek. He wants to be found. Do you know that? He wants to be found. And he came and met that woman. And don't ask me why, because I don't know. Maybe you can tell me. She didn't recognize him, did she? No. She looked at him. He asked her two questions. She could not even recognize his voice. I don't know why. Maybe the tears were too much. She couldn't see properly, but she could hear. She heard his voice. And it just reminds me how many times I am, you know, in a very difficult situation. I cannot see him near me, but he's right there. He's right there beside me. You know, he comes to meet me wherever I am, and he does the same for you as well. But she didn't recognize him. She didn't know what was going on. One thing she knew, her situation went from bad to worse. Have you been like Mary, where your situation goes from bad to worse? I have many times, God bless. But I have you know, have been that situation. And going back to my story, after I became a believer, I changed. But guess what? My husband didn't. In fact, he became worse. He hated Jesus and anything to do with the church. He smashed my cassette player and he threw my worship tapes on the floor and smashed them with his feet. Can you remember tapes and, cassette players? Yeah, not that old, but... He forbade me to have any Bibles on display around the house. And one day, he came home unexpectedly because he often stayed away from Friday to Monday. So I hadn't cooked dinner for him, and he became very angry. He pinned me down with one hand, and with the other hand, he held a knife against my stomach, yelling that he was going to kill me. But this time, I whispered a prayer. And he looked into my eyes. And he told me he knew what I was doing. And then he put the knife down and left the room. After that, I really wanted to leave him. And I want God to tell me what to do. So I prayed and fasted for 3 days, asking God what to do. And God told me. The third day he said, if you leave him, he'll die. I knew God was talking about the spiritual death, not physical death. And I knew God led me to make the decision, to choose what to do. And I decided to obey God. I stayed with my husband. Wasn't easy, but I asked God to help me to love my husband the way that he loved him. And slowly he did. One night, 3 years later, my friends and I were praying in my house where suddenly my husband came in, fell on his knees and wept. He wept his ways to Jesus. Soon after, God spoke to me again. And he asked me to bring my husband's son to live with us. He was 6 years old. And again, it wasn't easy to obey God. But God gave me the strength to do it. And I treated his son as one of my own. Then, 5 months later, my husband and 2 friends went fishing when their boat sunk and they all drowned. I was devastated. I had so many plans for my family. Now that we know we are all Christians, especially after my husband got baptized. But now he was dead. And my husband's son's grandmother took him back after my husband drowned. I felt terrible. And I started to ask God, why? Why, God? Why did you bring this boy? Why? And God didn't answer me, oh, my wise. I just had to learn to trust God. But one why he answered me, by his mercy, his grace, he answered me when I asked him, why did you bring the young boy to stay just 5 months with his father? And God answered me, I wanted to heal his heart. I wanted him to see that he had a father who took him in. And in that time, that day, I learned God's father's heart for me. And I learned that life wasn't just about me, poor me and me, but life was about others as well. God wants to use us to bless others. Mary had lost everything. So she poured out her heart to a stranger. And she says in verse 16, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will. Can you see that woman's desperation or despair to be with Jesus? She doesn't say, tell me where you put him, and I will go back to the house, run like a crazy, call Peter, John, whoever is there, to come and carry him. No, say, I will carry him. I will go where he is, and I will bring him home, or bring him wherever he's supposed to be. I will, no matter how heavy his body may be, no matter how probably, I don't know, the body started to decompose, no matter what, I will and get him. Tell me where he is. Tell me where he is. You see, sometimes I think, oh, I have no time to be with him. I'm too busy. Life is too busy. You know, I woke up early, go to bed late. I have no time to be with him. I have no, how can I be in his presence? Find time. We have to find, you know, show him how passionate you are for him when you make time to be with him. What could he do? Tell me, what could Jesus do? Just bring us to the third, third point that we are learning with Mary, is having a worshiping heart. When Jesus saw that woman's heart to be with him, what could he really do? He said one thing that he knew probably, she would recognize his voice. He said her name, Mary. I don't know about you, but when my heart is in trouble, when everything around me is sinking, my problems are bigger than me and doesn't need to be a tall problem to be higher than me. You know, when my problems are too big, I just have to calm down, quiet myself and hear his voice. Well, he knows my name. He knows your name as well. He knew that woman's name and she knew. She didn't recognize him. She didn't recognize his voice, but she recognized her name on his mouth. Mary. And what did she do? What could she do? If you read another gospel, it says that she threw herself at his feet. She worshipped him. She knew who he was. He was alive. He was the Messiah. He was the risen King. She worshipped him. See, a life of worship brings us close to his presence, brings us straight to his presence. Learn to worship him, not just with songs, but with your life. He knows how much we love him when we show in our bodies what we are prepared to sacrifice to be with him. And then that woman holding to Jesus, and Jesus says, verse 16 to 17, first part of 17, she hold his feet, and he says, do not hold on to me. I have not yet returned to the Father. I mean, if I was Mary, I would say, come on, you know, I just met you. I was desperate to find you. I met you, you know, let me stay here longer. But again, the last point that Mary taught me, and hopefully is teaching you, how to be close to Jesus in his presence, is having an obedient heart. Having an obedient heart. Verse 17, Jesus says, go and tell my brothers, tell the others. If I was Mary, I would say, Jesus, please come on, give me another 5 minutes here between us. You know, I just found you. You tell me to go. She did. I don't know, you know, that encounter that woman had with Jesus changed her life. Now she had a mission in her life. She had a purpose for her life, you know. And the purpose was to go, run, and tell others about Jesus. And she did. And what did she say? I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. Have you seen the Lord? Have you seen the Lord? The risen King, have you seen? You see, fear builds boundaries. That's what happened to the disciples. Jesus didn't go to the house first. He went later, where the disciples were all locked up in fear of men, in fear probably they were going to be the next to be crucified. Because fear builds up boundaries around us, and we cannot see what God wants us to see. But faith removes boundaries. And that's what that woman faith and yearning for Jesus meant, that she saw the risen Christ first. She was the first one to see him. And like Mary, that was what happened to me. Even as a widow, God showed me his purpose for my life. Just months after my husband drowned, God called me to be a missionary. I thought that I couldn't do it. I wasn't sure if I could be a good missionary or not. Because the only things I had on my hands were my two boys, very young, 6 and 10. But God promised to look after us. And we are still here, depending on him. And 7 years later, God gave me a wonderful husband who is sitting there on his cap, nice cap. Or hat. Can you remember the first time when you met Jesus? The passion, the love, the peace, the joy that came into your heart. You know that he wants to have with you every day. Go back. He's calling you back to that time of communion, that time of fellowship, because that's what he created you and me. His presence is where we belong. It's the place where we should be, where nothing and nothing can touch us, even in the middle of the troubles. His peace and his joy will be stronger. And have you seen the Lord? If you don't know Jesus yet, I really invite you to open your heart today, because there is no one else in this earth that will make you whole and complete you the way he does. I just invite you to do that. Accept Jesus as your Savior. You can talk to someone else here that you trust, and you can ask to help you to accept Jesus as your Savior, as I did one day in my life, many years ago in my life. And if you are going through a very difficult situation, I encourage you to stop looking at your problem and look to the risen Savior. Look up to him, because he is strongest you enough to stop, to calm down the storms in your life. He is still in control. Don't lose hope. He is your living hope inside you. But I really want to invite all of us to come to his presence, because it is in his presence that we have fullness of joy. It's in his presence we find who we really are, and we are loved by him. And he wants us to love him back. Like crazy people, just love him back, doing crazy things for him. Do you think it was easy for me to be a missionary with two children? I had to feed them. I had to clothe them, you know. And you do crazy things when you are in love. And why not do crazy things for Jesus? He did for us. It's in his presence we find freedom and we are restored. But I invite you to close your eyes now as we finish. If you want to come to the front so people can pray for you, I really encourage you to do that if you're going through a very hard time. And it's a privilege when you have just God as the only one who can help you. That's a privilege, because you come to him. But I really want to talk to you if you are having suicidal thoughts. I had. I know many Christians who do still have. One day, I thought life was too hard for me. I couldn't cope anymore. And I decided, I thought about ending it all. But if you are struggling, the thoughts come and go, and you think life is too tough, you had enough, I just want to tell you that's a lie. God is the giver of life. He has abundance of life for you. Even though you are going through a tough time, don't give in. Don't give up. Just trust him. And if you are, I'm just talking to you, if you are having suicidal thoughts, I want you to put your hand, everybody close your eyes. You don't have to. Just put your hand on your heart. God knows. God knows you. God knows where you are. God knows your problems. He knows your difficulties. But also, he knows the plans he has for you. And they are not bad. Trust him. Trust God. Just put your hand on your heart and I'll pray for you. You don't have to come to the front unless you want afterwards to talk to someone else. Please do. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep it for yourself. Just find someone that you trust and then talk to this person. Just God, please. I pray for your freedom, Lord Jesus. I pray that you, Lord, you know your children. You know who are going through a very difficult time, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for their thoughts, Lord Jesus, that you take away any spirit of death, Lord Jesus. Lord, you are the giver of life. You are the one, Lord Jesus, who created us so you can love us. Lord, you yearns for us. You are the one, Lord, who wants to be with us. Lord, and I just pray, Lord Jesus, as you release my brothers and sisters here free, Lord Jesus, from any kind of thought of death, of suicide, oh Lord. We just release them, Lord. Release their minds so they can have your thoughts, Lord Jesus. Life is difficult, Lord, but with you, all things are possible. All things are possible, Lord. Teach us to be brave, Jesus. Teach us not to give up. Not to give up on you, or not to give up in what you have for us. Because you have good plans for us, Lord Jesus. You are good God. You have a good family. You placed us in a good family here, Jesus. Just, Lord, bless them, Lord Jesus. And I pray that the spirit of life will come over them, Lord Jesus. And life will be good, Lord Jesus. Life will be good with you, Lord. Your joy, your hope, Lord Jesus, will fill their hearts. And they will learn to be in your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's sing a song. And yes. I just invite you to stand up and again, feel free if you want to ask someone to pray for you. I just encourage you to come to his presence and learn with Mary that having a grateful heart, an open heart, a worshiping heart, an obedient heart will always bring you to the presence of the Father. The Father who loves you, who is crazy about you, who loves you deeply, has good things for you. Amen.
Just as we're going to worship, if you'd like Regina, Verdonna and Regina could pray, come to the front. If you'd like some prayer for anything that they've said, we've got opportunity, a few minutes, so just come down the front and ask that they pray for you. So just as we're worshipping, slip out your seats, come and down the front here and ask Verdonna and Regina just to pray for you. If there's anything that she shared today that really touched you, we've got opportunity for some prayer this morning. So let's worship. Let's worship Jesus together, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Jesus, would you help us this morning to put everything to one side, just to think about you. Jesus, just to think about you, your loveliness, your goodness, your kindness, your mercy towards us. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you for the wonderful privilege this morning of being able to gather together to love you, to bring thanks to you, to praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just as we're quiet before the Lord, let's just start in our hearts to say thank you. Just thank you for life. Thank you for a new day. Thank you for all God's goodness. Just let's start thanking him for his goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, thank you. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord. I wonder if you'd join me, just put your hand on your own heart and let's pray for ourselves. Lord, would you do miracles in our heart today, Lord? Would you refresh? Would you renew? Would you soften our hearts, O Lord? Jesus, come, please, we pray. Would you do amazing miracles in our hearts today? We cry to you, we ask. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In my heart, in our hearts, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Fantastic, fantastic. Big welcome. Big welcome. Today is a special day. Sit, have a seat. Please grab a seat. Fantastic. It's a big day today because one of our number has hit that special age. One of our number here amongst us has hit that amazing privilege of being a teenager. Ooh. Let's give a big round. Esteli, come forward, please. Oh, here she is. Here she is. Fantastic. Fantastic. Now, Esteli, we want to know, when you woke up this morning and you thought, I am a teenager, how did you feel? The same. Now, that's a big relief for Mercy. Mercy's very relieved that you feel just the same being a teenager as you did being a child. Anyone else's birthday today, this actual day? No, it's not, John, your birthday. No, fantastic. You're unique. Did you know that? Big, here comes a cake. Let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Esteli. Happy birthday to you. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh, fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? There you go. Way! A big round. Well done, well done, well done. Fantastic. Amazing, amazing. Goodness me. Doesn't time fly? Remember when you were born and I had hair. It was a long time ago. Fantastic. Now, today is a special Sunday because as the Sundays roll by, there comes a kind of end-of-term feel. And so this is that kind of end-of-term feeling. Joe, come and tell us, why is it a special Sunday for Flame? It's a special Sunday, is it not?
Well, this is the Flame prize giving, which we're going to do in a minute. Just a couple of things. First of all, we were going to go out to the fields today. We have our annual Sunday school outing to the fields. Believe it or not, nobody believes there's fields near here, but there is a field near here, okay? And we go to that field, but the forecast wasn't very good. And so we're going to go to the field next week. And it's going to be, apparently, according to the BBC Weather app, very hot next Sunday. So the kids need to bring drinks and hats and stuff, and we've got sunscreen stuff. But that's next Sunday. So this Sunday, we're going to do a little movie event in Flame with crafts and stuff. But we need Tribe to come and help us, and a Blaze are going to stay in. That's the kind of plan. So that's the notices bit. We are actually waiting for one or two people that are slightly late. I won't just keep talking. So just a couple more things to say. Could I just say thank you again to the people who sponsor Carity Wood? We've done a report now and we're sending it out this week. I'm sorry, there's been various things going on and we've been a bit slow, but it is coming. You will get emails this week. What about praying for the year sixes? Can we do that? In Flame is from the ages of about 4 to the ages of about 11. In school years, that's reception to year 6. It's like this huge age span. And every year when we get some year 6s, they help look after the younger ones, which has been absolutely brilliant. And we've had some stunning year 6s this year. And we just wondered whether the year 6s could come up so that we wondered if some of the teenagers might come who've gone before them and just quickly pray with them as they set out towards secondary school in September. So if you're in year 6, could you have come up? Brilliant. They didn't know about this. We're missing Kelechi, who's on his way as we speak, I think. So he's coming, he's on his way. Do you want to say what schools you're going to? That would be ever so good. But you'll need to say it slowly because we might not know the names. Yeah, and maybe where the school is. That would be brilliant.
So I don't live like near here, but I'm going to, it's called Longdean. So that's the school I'm going to. It's in Hemel.
It's in Hemel, yeah. Wednesday.
I'm going to St. Ignatius in Turkish Street. Turkish Street.
I don't know. NVA Enfield, yeah.
Okay,
I'm going to my sister's school, Millhill County High School in Barnet.
Did you hear that?
I'm going to my sister's school, Millhill County High School.
And Anna?
I'm going to Parliament Hill, which is on the Heath.
It is very near here on Hampstead Heath. Brilliant. Okay. I wondered if one or two of the teenagers might have come up and just prayed. It would be great if we could have prayed. Are there any teenagers who'd be willing to come up? There's not that many here. Emily, brilliant. How about then, David, wonderful. He's just in as a teenager. Brilliant. Sarah, do you fancy coming up? We need one more. We need one more prayer. Wonderful. So you've each got someone to pray for. Yeah? Sarah, would you pray for Eliza? Is that okay? Can we pass the mic on? So let's close our eyes and let's just really pray with them. We don't just do this because it's something we do. We mean what we're going to pray now, that God would really go with them. Fantastic.
Okay, yeah, Lord, I just want to pray for Jonathan, Lord, as he goes away to his school, that you protect him, Father. You'd give him a real nice class, Father. He'd have such a lovely year. He'd have brilliant teachers, Father, and that he would stay strong in you. He would find other Christians there. And that he would, you'd really bless him immensely. Amen.
Lord, I thank you so much for Joel, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just want to pray your blessing over him as he goes into this next year, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you equip him, Lord Jesus, that you ready him, and you help him to trust you, Lord, that as he sets his foot in this new school, that he won't feel afraid or nervous, but he will be fully equipped in you, Lord Jesus, that you've called him, and you will equip him, Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I just really thank you for Eliza's life that you've allowed her to have in primary school with all the support. I just pray that as she moves on to secondary school, you continue to support her and guide her. You allow her to flourish in the way she is. Amen.
Dear, I just pray that you just make this transition easy for Anna and that she'll just find loads of great friends at Parley and that she'll just have a really enjoyable time and just come closer to you and just meet others who are Christians that will just strengthen her faith too, Lord. Amen.
Fantastic. Do you want to give them a clap? Brilliant, guys. Thank you. Kletchy is also year six, and he's on his way. They have just been fantastic, these guys. They're probably desperate to escape from flame and from me and to get into greener pastures up somewhere else. But it's been amazing having them. I have absolutely loved having them. All of them have decided to follow Jesus. And that has just been fantastic. So very quickly, Flame. So we run this through the academic year. And in Flame this year, Paul had suggested last year that I just quickly said something about what we've done. So we started in the autumn with Abraham. And we set out last autumn with Abraham. And then we had Isaac. And then we had Jacob. And we had Esau. And that was for about 9 weeks we did them. And then we did the coming of Jesus to earth in Bethlehem and the incredible run up towards Christmas. And then after Christmas, we did the life of Jesus. We did his baptism, his temptations, the incredible transfiguration, some of the miracles, the teachings of Jesus. And then we did, in the run-up to the Lord's Supper, his death, his resurrection, the promise of the Holy Spirit. We did the ascension and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So that was quite a lot. And then we finally concluded in the run-up to Charity Week with John the Baptist and his amazing messages. Now, I was telling someone in the week that I decided I'd thought too much about John the Baptist when I was doing a report at work about 3 weeks ago. And I said that increasing amounts of money had been spent on salaried GPs, practice nurses, and locusts. And, of course, what I was meaning to say was locums. But the spell check, of course, had no problem with locusts. And just left it in there. And so fortunately, before the final thing went in, it did say locums again. So we had talked a lot about the locusts. Just to say, in the prizes we're giving out, we're giving one of these to everybody, which is that little card. And they're from, I haven't got it up on the big screen, I don't know if you can see that. It's the, which is at the absolute heart of what we're doing in Flame, that everything is about Jesus coming more into our hearts. So all of the children have got one of those to take home this year. So I need the chairman of the trust to come up to hand out the prizes. We'll do this quite quickly. And I need Emily, who's going to help me. Emily's already here. Do you want to bring the box and a chair, mate? And we're aware that some of the children are coming miles and miles, and some can't choose. Oh, George and Georgina here. Oh, dear. So there's a few missing. We'll give them to family members. And you know, there's school things, there's family things, there's stuff that happens. So it's roughly based, it is based on attendance. Can I just say we have checked the results because we have had one or two cases of fraud. No cases of fraud this year. We haven't had any Satsuma stickers stuck in or anything like that. They've all been checked. So I need a piece of paper. Oh yeah, okay, it's here. So the runners-up, there are 15 prize winners. And so the runners-up in no particular order. Sarah, you're going to have to come up for you for your guys. So these are in no particular order, the runners-up. Is George and Georgina. So Sarah's coming up for them. Yep. And Joe and Luke. Brilliant. And, there you go. Oh, a double handshake. Brilliant. And then Jonathan Chiwelli. And Eliza. Where's Eliza? Brilliant. And then we have... We had a special request this year, actually. We gave out some prizes in Flame one day, and we gave first, second, third. And one bright spark put up his hand and said to me, what about fourth and fifth? So this year we've got a fourth prize because four people have come fourth. They've all got 32 points, starting with Ione. Where's Ione? Impressive. Impressive from Ione. Well done. Edward came fourth. Brilliant. Kalechi came fourth, but he's not here. Do you want to come up for him? Yeah, Liza's coming up for him. Brilliant. This is for Kalechi, who was fourth. And Joanna Haruna came fourth with 32 points. Brilliant. Well done. Fantastic. What about Lazarus? It's such a poor joke. Right, now we're down to the big three. Very exciting. So, in third place with a spectacular 33 points is Anna. In second place with an incredible 34 points is Joel Haruna. Now we can announce the first place, but I think he's not here yet. We're not going to wait for him, but he will be here later. You can congratulate him later. He's never won. It's Joseph Stern has come first. due to circumstances slightly beyond his control, he's going to be a little bit late. Brilliant. I think we're done. You'll be glad to know. Oh, no, we've got one more. Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, we've got a special prize this year. I forgot about this. Sorry. Special additional prize to be awarded to an adult. Got a special red ribbon. For somebody who's worked terribly hard to bring a lot of children to church. And it's Elizabeth gets her own prize. She's been waiting years for a prize. Look. It's a first. Hey. She's wanted those sweets for so long. Brilliant.
Fantastic. We're about to hit the summer. Having a break on Tuesday nights. It's a break of the summer. A lot of people are away. So this Tuesday is the last prayer meeting before we hit the break for the summer holidays. We're all looking forward to going away, doing different things over the summer. Over the summer, the Sundays, we've got August Sundays, which we're looking forward to very much. Nick, tell us about ECOS today. We've got ECOS happening today.
Sarah. Unaccustomed as you are to public speaking.
Yeah, I was happily sitting reading the paper on my phone this morning, which is something you can do when you don't have small children anymore, when a text arrived from Nick saying, would you say a few words about ECOS? And I said to Phil, oh no, I've had a text from Nick, because I don't like standing at the front, but here I am. So I've got my comfort blanket, which is a bit of paper. Last week, very sadly, just about a week ago, I witnessed a racial incident in our local Turkish shop, which really shocked me. And this morning when I was reading the paper, I saw that hate crime in London, I think it's London, has increased by 42% since the Brexit vote. And I thought, oh, this is not really, really not good. But we can be different as Christians. We can make a difference. And Jesus said about the commandments, the most important commandment, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Okay, so this is a little tiny way that you can fulfill that second commandment that Jesus said. You can love your neighbor as yourself a little bit, just in a really easy way. You don't have to buy a donkey and carry someone to a house and pay their medical bills. You just have to go and chat for an hour once a week to a lovely group of people from all over the world, mostly Europe, but some from other parts of the world, mostly young people, really friendly people. And for people like me who are a little bit shy, I haven't found any difficulty chatting with them because they're really keen to speak English. And if you run out of things to say, Nick's helpfully provided a sheet of icebreaker questions, which I have a feeling might be recycled from when we used to do cell groups, I don't know. So bringing a bit of oikos into ecos. And then in a few weeks when the picnics start on the heath, you'll all have a chance to chat to people. Because we're going to invite ECOS to the Heath. And what I was thinking this morning would be really nice if a couple of people made cakes when we had the Heath thing. How nice would it be to just like hand out a slice of cake? How British? It would be really, really good. So please, if you'd like to come along and help, that would be lovely. If you can't do that, and lots of people are clearing up or have got younger children, can't do Sundays with this sort of thing, please, please pray for us, because we won't achieve anything without prayer. Thank you.
Fantastic, Sarah. Thank you. Just to say that we've had, by the end of this morning, we will have had 40 different people come along. Some of them have come several times. I've had lovely texts from people just saying how much they really appreciated coming, and people are so nice and so friendly. And so we're sowing love, aren't we, every week after week. Every week sometimes we've just had enough helpers. And this week we may have more people than we've ever had before. We haven't yet actually had to put a cap on it. I don't particularly want to do that. But this week, we could really do with some help. So if you want to come along, it's, as Sarah said, incredibly easy. You only have to come along for an hour. You have a little help sheet. And you get to wear a lanyard. I know you've always wanted to wear a lanyard. This is your opportunity. You don't even have to do that. So, yeah, come along afterwards. Oh, yeah, and it's going to be in a new room. It's going to be in the drama room. So as you come out, you go straight out towards the flame room, through under the tunnel, and you just go through the green area, up the stairs, green, 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 and you'll see the ECOS signs at 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Thanks. Just finally, if you've got a notice sheet today, there's a lovely picture of Vi on the notice sheet. And just a reminder that her funeral, it's 10 o'clock on the 26th, Tuesday the 26th of July at Chalk Farm Baptist Church. Her sons have given us all her books over there. There's a load of books in those boxes over there, all her Christian books. And so please, if you want to grab any of those at the end of the meeting, please feel free. It's a lovely way of remembering Vi. Just grab some of her Christian books. So we'll be celebrating her life. It'll be a celebration. Vi asked that we would dress not in somber, but with celebration. It's a thanksgiving for her life. So that will be Tuesday, 26th July, 10 o'clock at Chalk Farm. Thanks for being so patient this morning with all the notices. So if you're in Flame or you're in Sunbeams, a preschool, or your tribe, now's the time to make our way through the door, please. Thank you.